Welcome to the Making Footprints, Not Blueprints podcast. My name is Andrew James Brown and I'm the minister of the Unitarian Church in Cambridge, UK. Knowing that full scope always eludes our grasp, that there is no finality of vision, that we have perceived nothing completely and that, therefore, tomorrow a new walk is a new walk, I hope that, on occasions, you'll find here a helpful liberal, religious and philosophical reflection that encourages you to journey through life, making footprints rather than blueprints. Welcome.
To touch again the finely woven, seamless cloth of joy and woe, an Easter Sunday meditation offered to the Cambridge Unitarian Church as part of the Sunday service of mindful meditation. And apologies here for the lo-fi quality of the recording. As you can hear, I'm a little bit under the weather today, and so I'm doing this recording at home at the kitchen table. Today is Easter Sunday, and for someone like me who simply does not, nor indeed can, believe in the literal resurrection of Jesus, quite what one is supposed to be celebrating on this day has often been far from clear to me. Believing that this may also be true for most of you, I've tried in this piece to say what it is that I, at least, am celebrating. In order to catch a glimpse of what I'm talking about, it's very important to hold in mind throughout this piece that the word metaphor, in its etymological sense, means to carry over or to transfer. So leaving aside the increasing number of people who simply do not realise Easter is a religious festival, and there may be many more of them than you think, most modern liberal people, with an interest in religion, are minded to interpret the Easter story as being a metaphor for spring. In these northern British Isles, this is not an inappropriate thing to do, because as Christianity first slowly began to arrive from the first century onwards, a long time before Augustine's Christian mission in 597 of the Common Era, it was fortuitous that the celebration of Jesus' resurrection from the dead coincided, more or less, with the spring equinox and the honouring of the Anglo-Saxon goddess Estra. As this was an agricultural festival with its own metaphors, celebrating a time when the land is waking up from the darkness of winter, the metaphor of Jesus' resurrection was able to be carried over or transferred, we might say metaphorined, almost seamlessly to the resurrection of the land at the coming of spring. And of course this went the other way as well. These transferences and carrying overs are always going in both directions. But for the coming of spring properly to be acknowledged and then truly celebrated, it was, and I think still is, absolutely necessary to do this, remembering the hardships that preceded it in the form of months of winter darkness, cold, hunger, and oftentimes death. Only in this belly of darkness, the word for which in Old Irish is imbolc, only in this belly of darkness could the seeds of spring begin to stir, from out of which genuinely new life can burst. The festival of Imbolc, celebrated around February 1st and 2nd, was associated with Brigid, the Irish goddess of fire, who, it was said, was born at dawn, rising into the sky with fire streaming from her head. And, not surprisingly, this goddess was also eventually carried over, or transferred, metaphorized, almost seamlessly into the Christian saint also called Brigid. For what it is worth, it seems to me that the belly of darkness that is Imbolc has been carried over into the Christian myth in the form of the dark tomb in which Jesus is laid on Holy Saturday between his death on the cross on Good Friday and his resurrection on Easter Sunday. Now, of course, here we are dealing with the syncretic intertwining of myths. And so my simplified account of these carrying overs or transfers from pre-Christian religious beliefs and practices to Christian beliefs and practices needs to be taken with great caution, because the carrying overs and transfers are almost certainly going to be way, way more complex and convoluted than the simple story I have just told. But I tell this story to remind you of what I see as the need to link Easter Sunday indissolubly to the death of Jesus on Good Friday and his entombment on Holy Saturday. If Easter Sunday's joy were ever separated from the darkness and suffering of Good Friday and Holy Saturday, and too many modern liberal religious Easter Sunday services are willing to do this, then it would be an empty festival that is of little or no spiritual use. This is because all the great spiritual traditions have understood that darkness and suffering are indissolubly tied together with light and joy, and that this must be acknowledged, understood, addressed, and incorporated before any true and lasting joy and light can spring forth. And since Thich Nhat Hanh is a Zen Buddhist teacher highly respected by many people in the local creative free spiritual community in Cambridge, where I'm minister, it seems appropriate to quote him here, talking about the third of Buddha's noble truths concerning the solution to suffering. Thich said, quote, "Don't throw away your suffering, touch your suffering. Face it directly and your joy will become deeper. You know that suffering and joy are both impermanent. Learn the art of cultivating joy. Practice like this and you come to the third turning of the third noble truth, the realization that suffering and happiness are not two. When you reach this stage, your joy is no longer fragile. It is true joy." Unquote. And Thich's words cannot but help make me think of some lines from William Blake's poem, Auguries of Innocence, which we sang this morning in our hymn. "It is right it should be so. Man was made for joy and woe. And when this we rightly know, through the world we safely go. Joy and woe are woven fine, a clothing for the soul divine. Under every grief and pine runs a joy with silken twine." And Blake's words here serve as a powerful reminder that what we might be tempted to call a Buddhist insight is in truth simply a perennially appearing insight into the human condition that belongs to all religious and spiritual traditions, and it can in principle be found everywhere. It is a truth that was also seen by those pre-Christian pagans who honoured, and still honour in new ways, Easter and Brigid. It was seen by those who have honoured, and still honour, the risen Christ. It was seen by the creative free spirit William Blake, and it was, has, is, and will be seen by many other people and traditions besides. This is because truth, or the eternal seed or fruit of the really real, what the Japanese call shinjitsu, which is a mixture of shin, meaning true or reality, and jitsu, meaning fruit or seed, truth is always metaphorical in its activity. I.e. truth is always already being infinitely carried over or transferred from person to person, myth to myth, culture to culture, generation to generation, religion to religion, which in turn ensures that truth can appear to us, sprout from that seed, under an almost infinite number of forms and in an almost infinite number of people, places and times. But it is never easy always to be living by the universal truth that joy and woe are woven fine, because the daily joys and woes of life can all too easily, alternately, cancel each other out and threaten to split them apart. We simply find ourselves in joy or woe, and we forget those connections that exist between them. And this is why there is the deepest spiritual value in returning year after year throughout our lives to the story of Good Friday, Holy Saturday and Easter Sunday, or to some analogous practice, such as Hosa found within the Rishikotikai community. Because over the course of these 3 days, we can take time reverently to touch again and be deeply mindful of the finely woven, seamless cloth of joy and woe, the only material out of which can be made the universal robe of true, unfragile joy, spoken of by Thich Nhat Hanh and William Blake, and expressed, of course, in the life and death of Jesus of Nazareth and Shakyamuni Buddha. And if a person is able to put on this robe during this weekend or at any time of the year, and even if only for the briefest of moments, then I feel assured that they can experience in the here and now a resurrection into a new, richer, fuller, more compassionate and joyful form of life. It is this that I celebrate today. Happy Easter.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of the Making Footprints, Not Blueprints podcast. So farewell for now, and remember, tomorrow a new walk is a new walk. See you on the path.